This episode of Real Life Sci-Fi is brought to you by Epic Reads and the new sci-fi fantasy Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston.
New York Times bestselling author Victoria Schwab says Heart of Iron delivers a delightful cast and nonstop thrills. The pages flew by and I couldn't put it down.
Don't miss this epic adventure, perfect for fans of Six of Crows and Firefly.
Pick up Heart of Iron today. Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold.
Do you do audiobooks?
I tried, but the one that I tried to listen to was too quiet, and I was cooking.
Feral Audio.
Everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wayne Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
And all right, so this is the podcast where we talk about sci-fi stuff. Willie is the believer. I am the skeptic. And our guest today is Martin Olson.
Hi.
Writer, right? Best-selling author. You do music?
Yeah, music, songwriter and a writer.
And you won an Emmy? Have you?
No, no wins.
Just nominations?
Yeah.
Sorry to bring it up.
I know.
So this is a sci-fi podcast. Where are you in sort of the
belief spectrum?
Yeah.
Seems like it's real to me. A lot of cops and military people and so on, but it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
So you believe in what, aliens?
Or, well, obviously, or just UFOs, we're fucking aliens. I mean, everything is. I think belief is the wrong word.
Uh huh.
Even though I said belief spectrum, but that's, I just was shortcutting. It's more case by case thing of what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm intrigued and curious.
Seems like it's a perception issue, so rather than a. Necessarily a physical reality.
So what are we? Well, this is like a broad topic
yeah.
that we're talking about
today well, we're which is basically talking about what was the title we came up with? Was it "Are We Supposed to Figure It Out"?
Yeah. Is there a limitation to what you can know or perceive? So certainly things on the edges of perception are fucked up. Oh, can I swear?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
please.
That's pretty specific, actually, if it's about what your brain can actually process.
Yeah, because I feel like I've written down a bunch of different areas that where that is relevant. Like, obviously the first one. Well, first off, do you think we should do, that we're supposed to figure it out?
Somebody who's controlling it, and it seems like it's all a big evolution. The universe is like this crazy fucking mystery where it evolves its own perceiving organs, which are sentient creatures, you know.
This is going to be the deepest episode. I can already tell.
Like,
this
is going to be.
I mean,
that's the topic. If it's like, is this real? Well, I don't know. I'm just, if you believe it is, certainly, if somebody's crazy, you know, I mean, certainly what they're believing is not real, but it's real to them. So that's always the ticket. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's what's weird. I mean, like, because I believe more in, like, a connected human consciousness, whether we're aware of it or not, which we're really not aware of it, but that we are more connected than we think. We're just not connected to that part of ourselves.
Yeah, it seems if you just keep pulling back from the earth as a visual, it's sort of like we're microbes, that kind of an analogy. So, I mean, there's some connection between microbes. Who knows? I don't know if it's telepathic. I don't know what thoughts they would have. But certainly because we have thoughts, it's a unique situation.
Like, I've been under the impression recently that, you know, we are bodies that produce energy. We create energy. We have our own electromagnetic field. I'm not really into chakras because I haven't researched them enough, but I can see that we would have centers of energy based on the fact that we are producing energy. And I like the idea that even a thought produced is energy. And that just trips me out because I'm like, I mean, obviously, you know, you've all been in situations where somebody who's either overly negative or overly positive in a situation can affect everyone around them. And I just wonder if there's a science to it that we'll never figure out.
You mean charisma?
Sure, sure. But just like...
Mesmero. Ron Lynch. Mesmerizo.
Yeah, I think that's more about bringing everybody down. Like, when you're a negative person, it's very easy to just be a downer.
But I think that there's an unspoken part to that energy, too, that can affect people.
Yeah, but then you're just talking about body language. You're talking about...
I'm specifically talking about the energy field that I'm creating is interacting and affected and affecting you, affected by your energy field and your...
Well, let's put it this way. Have you, Wade, experienced a person that you would consider an energy suck? Has that ever happened to you, being in a little dynamic, you know, creative mode and somebody's a fucking...
Yeah, but that just
drain.
Comes. Yeah, usually it's just somebody pitching something really bad.
What if it's not pitching? What if it's just a minimal speaking and it's a vibe? I think that's what Willie's talking about. I don't know if it's real, but charisma, I think we all agree, is real.
Yeah.
So why not an energy suck? So just sort of, I'm just bringing this up because of the idea of us exuding energy or sucking it. You know, just as energy entities. So certainly talking and thoughts is a whole other weird excrescence of our minds. It's, you know, probably.
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah. But usually it comes from the person in power. You know, if it's just someone who nobody is really respecting, then nobody pays attention to them, you know.
And usually I think you're right, though. It's because of the choice of words or the way that they speak, whether it's energizing or the opposite.
Right. But I think that could also just come from our parents, you know. Like, everybody knows when their parents are in a bad mood because they act in a certain way, and then you can just, like, project that onto other people and assign them a mood, even if that's not the case, you know?
Yeah.
Well, talking about charisma, the most agreed upon, I think, con men are... You know, religious guys or guys that bring groups together through just the power of their personality and their words. And maybe something in addition to that, that is why they can do that, because they have this energy which maybe is more powerful. Who knows? I don't mean electrical. I don't know.
No, that's a really good point, actually. And there's even if you, like, take it down a level, like performers, like actors who people really respond to, you know, they just have a thing.
Right.
Like, you can see, like, if you see a guy who's new to town and he performs or whatever, and I'm just talking about the entertainment industry, you can tell, like, oh, that guy's going to be on TV in 6 months.
Well, there's also an illusion that happens. I remember in Boston when someone would come from out of town to the comedy club, there was a, what's the word for it? It's not charisma. There was a aura, what do you call it, comes from out of town that we put on the person, and they're really just a middle act, but it's like you're listening more, and
like
you're
a
giving,
notoriety, you mean, or
no, there's no, you don't even know who they are,
like
they're
a mystique?
Mystique, that's the word.
Okay.
They're from New York, I'm in Boston. So they come in, we don't know that they're a middle act or even an opening act.
Sure.
And because they have solid material, but there's something we're projecting on him,
right,
that makes us more receptive.
Yeah.
So that's just not about energy. It's what's how we're processing someone else's energy, I guess.
Well,
that sounds fucking retarded.
I feel like this entire hour is going to sound retarded.
I mean, the first thing I want to talk about, though, is specifically religion. Now, I'm not familiar with all of the religions, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's weird to me that within a lot of religions, a lot of them do, you know, take away the church and just get to the religion. And a lot of them are, you know, the basic bylaws of humanity, respect people, love people.
It's ethics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, even today, most of the wars we fight are you know, minus the oil industry, are based on religious beliefs. And it's like, no, I'm more right than you. But I'm like, that's not what the spirituality side of that religion is teaching. I think religion is the bad side of everything, because once you start making money and you get people to get into this thing and they believe you no matter what you say.
Well, yeah, it's a racket for sure. I mean,
but I guess what I'm saying, though, is that like those religions aren't teaching. Yeah, that there are extremists in situations, but the core of what they're trying to teach is more spirituality than coming together and doing it together.
Well, there's some missing thing. There's what you guys just said, which is believers are wanting to be comfortable with their family's beliefs and with the society's beliefs and everything. But individually, the real proof of the pudding would be in when they do their prayers or they do their meditations or whatever it is to try to contact the source that they believe in.
Yeah.
It goes back, whether they contact something or not, goes back to a different thought that you brought up first, Will, which is about thoughts. And that would be our thoughts things.
Yeah.
And one idea about why people believe religions, because it's fucking real for them, is because the group mind creates this fucking thought form, if thoughts are real. Yeah. It's just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And because we sleep off our lives. People don't, this is fucking retarded the way we, life is ridiculous. We're asleep, we're unconscious half the half our lives.
Yeah.
So there's some, it's fucked up. So, but we just go on as if everything's normal. It's completely not normal. So if people believe things so strongly, let's say in Jesus, for example, or some other God, it's possible that there's some plane of thought or emotions or something that where you actually create a thought form, and this could be a UFO as well, where other people can also contact that, and it becomes like a generic shape of a prophet or a generic Jesus, which is all made up. Yeah. Jesus on the pictures is all just made up.
Right. Yeah.
But everybody agrees upon that. In other religions, the pictures of the guys, it's always the same. You know, it's some authority figure father thing. So one of the ideas is that you actually do contact something and it makes you cry and you're emotionally touched because you're actually seeing this glowing being in your mind that you're contacting, but it's a thought form. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's a group thought of something that represents something to a whole bunch of people. Now, I don't know what the reality of that would be, but it's an idea of why I've talked to so many people, and in prayer or in meditation, they actually contact whatever God they believe in. And it's so real to them. They're being completely sincere. They're not fucking idiots either. Yeah. They're fucking smart people. And so I think it's a trick, and it might be built in. If this what I'm saying is there's something to it, it's some kind of trick of consciousness that the group mind that you were talking about before creates, and it kind of reinforces these beliefs.
Yeah, know? I mean, I think it goes back to what we were originally saying, which was like you can feel somebody's mood without having them say anything. And so if you're in a group of people who are going to be very positively like thinking about this, you know, Jesus Christ or whatever, then you just you get into it, you know? It's like those horrible, horrible churches who just laugh. Or no, I think it's a therapy thing. They just laugh. And like when you watch it, it's just the... Have you guys seen this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the worst thing.
What do they call it? There's a word for
it. It's like laugh therapy or something like that.
No, no, no. Oh, I mean, like there was a time
for
a while...
The Church of Laughter?
There was a time for a while where people would do it spontaneously, and there was a word for it where like somebody would just crack up in church and they couldn't stop, and it was like...
I remember.
But there is a thing where it's like, yeah, it feels good to be like laughing with other people, and even though it's like it's the most cringeworthy thing in the world to look at. Like if you were actually there and you were open minded and you said like, oh, I'm gonna laugh with them, it would probably feel pretty great, you know.
Well, here's the other side of that. Way, did you finish?
I'm done.
One of the best things In other words, that's the worst thing, and I agree, because it's a simulation of happiness. So right. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
However, one of the best things is a flip side of that, and I mean it's the fucking best thing, is when you and I are like in a writing room or whatever, or we have to perform or we have to do something, and you get the giggles, which is what they call it, and you literally can't fucking stop.
Yeah.
And it's some kind of energy that builds between two people or three people.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen when you're by yourself, ever.
Never, never. Although you giggle when you come up with ideas and shit like that, depending on your...
But that uncontrollable, I can't stop laughing.
Can't fucking stop.
This has never happened to me before, I can't stop laughing. Like, that is always with other people, and you're always doing something great.
So I think that in those church things, because the difference between us maybe is I think that the religious people are sincere. Well, and they're not fooling themselves as much. There's a lot of assholes who just will want control over other people. But the people who are sincere are the suckers who actually are. Sincerity is you have to be if you're sincere, you're a sucker.
Right. Right.
That's what sucker is.
Yeah.
I've got two scenarios that I want to go over, and you guys you can choose which one we want first. But one scenario is that we actually are closer to gods, and we can create things, and that our thoughts can actually create matter, can create.
I know, but you used the G word. What the fuck? What are you saying? What are you talking about?
But like the fact that, like, instead of worshiping a god, that we are a god, and that our creation capabilities are stronger than we think, but they've been kind of drowned out of us because we've all been sheep for so long, that it's like, no, you know, you can create. You hear people visualizing their future and then it happens, or you know, connecting to the ether of some sort, that like where it actually is that, like, you created that situation because there is a power inside of you. They've done so many studies on the power of prayer and even the, you know, blessed water.
That's
different. But also, like, there have been some tests of, like, okay, they've got this coin flip machine, right? And it's like...
just the idea that's good.
Yeah. They have all
these... So someone had to patent that and had to actually manufacture the coin flipping machine.
Yeah. But what they say is that they all actually change in waves together. Like, they have them in different parts of the country, and they've been flipping coins for like 30 years, you know.
But what?
Like, yeah.
And they all hit heads at a certain time.
Not necessarily that they all hit heads, but like the randomization of them changes in waves together. Or for example, like there was a guy who, it sounds like I'm just pulling this out of my ass, and I don't know my sources and blah blah blah. But like, a lot of people used to administer tests to people where, like, they were flipping coins, but what they've come to find was that the person administering the test could have an effect on how the results came out because their consciousness affected the test. I don't know how to look this up, but
there's a huge thing right now that's happening. It's very controversial because it's exactly what you just said, and it's against, you know, a science. It shows that the person who it is, the guy in University of Chicago, he has a weird name, but he did these tests, and it was exactly that. And wish I'd shit. Too bad we didn't have like a minion here with computer.
We always just treat this like we're hanging out at a party. If we can't,
here's
remember,
what I read. Here's what I read, and you could then don't have to believe it. You could look it up yourself. Some guy with a trick name, and I said, "What's this guy?" And I looked up his picture because I always like to see a picture.
Yeah, sure.
In case he's a complete fuck up. And he looked fucking decent and normal. And I saw a couple other pictures, and he looked even better. And he was like an old scientist.
And he was George Clooney.
And it was George fucking Clooney. I didn't even know he had a PhD.
I didn't know he was a scientist.
Yeah. What can't George Clooney
and
do?
And his thing was, he actually did the tests that, depending upon the beliefs of the person involved in so-called psychic tests, and he called them psi tests.
Yeah.
To get away from sounding like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
It was definitive. So look this up. I'll tell you guys the things later, but I actually just, it's amazing because it's something you always think about before, and it certainly seems like a delusion that there's no scientific, that you can't, that it's depending upon consciousness of a person, because we don't even know what that means.
Right.
But that's something to look up that goes right to what you just said.
Yeah. And then the other side of all of this is, you know, yeah, science is showing more that we might be living in closer to what might be more of a hologram existence than an actual existence. And so if we are in some sort of, I hate using the word matrix, but if we are in some kind of
it's the greatest program, the greatest metaphor ever in literature is that, because obviously our perceptions are fake.
So if, let's say we are living in a hologram experience, and I love talking about this because it's pretty crazy, you know, like the fact that, have you heard of, I've been drinking too much. What's the name of that? There's a type of, well, I'll look it up. I wrote it down on my phone. But
the Weinstein brothers?
The simulation theorem?
The
you just made up Weinstein, right? Because it sounded Jewish.
No. Weinstein produced
Quantum Entanglement.
The Matrix.
Have you heard of Quantum
Entanglement? I'm trying to think of the cross-dresser.
The movie guy.
I'm trying to think of the cross-dresser.
He's no longer a cross-dresser. He became a woman.
Okay. I'm trying to think of the trans. Wachowski?
Yeah.
I've never been able to say it.
Have you heard of Quantum Entanglement?
Yeah, but I don't understand what
this is
actually
one of the
means.
Craziest things in the world that's going on right
okay,
now.
Okay, but do it like in a very, first of all, define that.
Well, so, you know when you zoom really far into like electrons, and they've come to find that some electrons pop in and out of existence.
Do it every morning. Yeah.
Have you heard of that before?
I don't know what that means.
Like it's like it'll disappear from existence and then show up somewhere else, whatever, in this electron circle, whatever. I mean that's crazy. And I like that you brought this up one time that maybe we're zooming in so far that if this is a hologram life, it's like you can't see anything past the smallest pixel because it's like that's the extent of our zooming in on this hologram life.
My metaphor was like a high def versus standard def resolution thing. It was like the reason they can't see whatever Willie's talking about is because if this is a computer simulation, it's only, you know, it's like 4K.
The resolution won't let you see it.
Yeah.
Right.
So what quantum entanglement is so they've found out that there are certain particles that can be in two places at the same time. It's like they take one of those and they split them up, right? And
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is this the math that says that, or is it a physical experiment that says that?
It's the physical experiment.
So how would they perceive that? Through what? Electron? How? I mean,
see,
how?
I don't understand this, but they are doing this right now. Where?
Sure. I mean, I've read.
Let's say you've
sure.
taken something, you've split it in half. No matter how far apart this particle is from this particle, and I'm particle might even be the wrong word,
mm-hmm.
but when you affect this one gets affected too because it's the same thing. So what they're doing now is they're saying
something could be in two places at the same time.
Yeah, and they're using that as the most secure computer system ever. It's like there's no wires, there's no Wi-Fi. You're actually, whatever particle this is that you're storing information on or however you're using that, when you affect this computer, it affects the other computer. So it's the most secure thing ever because there's no way in because there is not a way in. But you can have information in two different places at the same time, like almost like a Wi-Fi, but with no Wi-Fi.
You know, I always had a fantasy about that. Since I was a kid.
About that specifically?
In this way. If you can project your mind into another person, then you order him to split and project his mind to two other people, and so on and so on and so on.
That's great.
Pretty soon you could control every person in the world, and it could all be you. So you can be in 7 billion places at once.
That's like the hive mind kind of thing, like the Star Trek thing, right?
Yeah.
The Borgs or whatever.
They all have the same mind.
Yeah.
But they're separate.
Ants. But that's like an evil thing to do. That's horrible.
What if I was super nice to them and had them
it
clean
doesn't
it?
Matter because you've taken away their free will, right?
No, the first thing I'd do is what they would want is to clean their genitals and to be very hygienic. This is Bob Nickman calling.
Do you need to take it? Put it on speaker. Let's...
I will next time if you go.
All right.
He's a very funny comic.
So, you know, you know, I'm sorry to if you guys have more to say about this, go ahead and interrupt me. But I just want to keep bringing up different weird things.
It's also abstract. I mean, like, what is there to?
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about just that for the entire.
Yeah. What was the tie-in about quantum entanglement to the idea of?
Well, to me, like, if we're living in a hologram, what if then we still have that, we kind of have that godlike qualities as well, where we can create things because it's all programs, and you can, your belief is so strong that you can actually kind of reprogram parts of the Matrix. It's just like, you know, oh, you believe in ghosts? There's ghosts here because you believe in them, and your belief is so strong that it can rewrite.
But that's like, that sounds like a bad acid trip, where you're just like, you, what you think becomes reality.
Well, and I've always been afraid of that, because I've watched so many different possession and poltergeist stories, and in some poltergeist situations, they've basically said that, like, you know, this has moved from house to house, and we can't figure this out, and there's no spirits here or whatever. And it's like, that in some cases, they've just attributed it to the person being haunted, where it's like, you have created this, and it's following you because you created it.
Sure. Well, just look, just to make sure that this is an intelligent, you know, so that we're not fucking getting into dumbness. There's phonies, too, that do that.
Yeah,
so you have to
yeah.
always acknowledge that when you're talking about this. It's, and you say, like, aside from the phonies, the people, the little girls that need attention, or some boy who, you know, his father beat him and he needs to throw things to make it look like he's special. There are cases where it doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. And that's when there's, I mean, stones falling from ceilings and shit. It's like there's certain places that have like rifts or some things that don't make any sense.
Well, you just got to call your contractor in that case and be like,
and get the stone
make it build better. Do your job.
Well, I wanted to get into like death situations, right? Whenever you've heard stories of either someone that has died and then got revived, or let's say they had a near-death experience, or even people that have reincarnation memories, right? Let's say anytime somebody's referring to either contacting a dead one, or the popular thing now is that someone that has died has Facebook messaged you or emailed you, you know.
What?
Have you heard of that?
No, like, that's popular?
And I don't mean popular, but like it happens. It quote-unquote happens.
That's like the easiest thing to explain away.
Yeah, it really is. But like, I guess more specifically, when someone has died and they are revived, and you hear people talking about a bright light or a feeling of love, or some people have been like, "Oh, I felt something close to hell, so I've changed my life." But in all of those situations, and even, you know, when it comes to religious experiences, a lot of people are, you know, they're in a religion, but they're not like balls to the wall that religious, unless they've had like a spiritual awakening or rebirth or something specific to them that could be like a miracle or something that's to make them say, "Holy shit, this is real." And but I guess more in the death situations, and it's hard for me to say this because I haven't seen every case or whatever, but you never really hear of stories of people coming back and being like, Buddhists are right, not Christianity, you know. Whenever what they normally bring back from that experience is, "Oh, I get it. I need to love more." It's like I just need to be more. It's more of a how to react and be a more of a calm.
I would say that that's the consciousness telling you, like, "Oh, I was almost gone. Like, do you want to keep playing video games and eating McDonald's, or do you want to volunteer at a homeless shelter and eat salads?"
Yeah, you know, like, I agree with that too. But when someone has a specific experience where it's like, "I saw the white light, I saw my relatives," and that could all be a brain instant that was created either before death or after death, and it might not have been associated with that actual death experience. You know, it might not have been a soul experience. It might have been your brain just working and then convincing yourself that. But I guess that's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of negates that whole thing. But
it doesn't negate it. No, just say what you were going to say.
I don't think it negates it either, because things are way weirder than we want to admit, but it's just too hard to think about it, and we're fucking retarded.
But there's never a specific message of like, "Oh, you should be a Jehovah's
Witness."
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's because of course, religion is a human construct. I mean, that's like...
Religions are made up.
I think all of the religions are trying to say... you know,
of course they are, because they want
spiritual.
More people on their team, because they think that's going to win them the Super Bowl. But they're totally clueless as to, like, no, you can be okay. Like, gay people can get married, and you can be a Baptist and not give a shit about it. But people are still going, like, "I live in Kentucky. I'm not going to give a gay guy a marriage license because my made up religion tells me that that's going to make me a better person. So, yeah. Like, of course, nobody's going to come back from the dead and say, like, oh, you guys, yeah, gay people should not get married. Like, that's what I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, does that track? Like,
I get what you're saying. Yeah, there never is a specific message.
But, like, the reason people die and then they go, like, oh, I'm going to be a Christian now or whatever. I don't know if that's
what he's saying, dude.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's not what you're saying. But, like, the reason they want to be a better person is because they were almost dead.
Wait, I think that, am I wrong saying that your point was a different one? That it wasn't
it
about...
probably was.
Wasn't that, yeah. Oh, after I die, I'm going to be a better person. It's that I died, and I remember having this fucked up, crazy experience where I saw this light and this stuff happen. The person's being totally sincere.
Yeah.
So and the it's obvious
more like
logical
closer to connecting to the source, if there is a
that's
thing.
The feeling. There's a feeling of a whooshing thing. I mean, you can read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of that. It's been going on forever. And then there's a light, and then you see relatives or whatever. But and certainly, the normal thing you'd imagine that of course would be the brain shutting down and the memories in some way visualizing themselves somewhere as you fucking tune out.
Yeah.
But you know, I my friend Todd Dorenfeld, my wonderful, magnificent artist, he died. My wife died. Another friend of mine died. My wife saw that stuff. And figured it was, something was happening. Didn't know what it was. But my friend Todd died at the bottom of a swimming pool. He was dead for a long time. They didn't think they'd bring him back. And he had nothing. He said, dude, there was nothing. No, it just was out.
Yeah.
Which is what you'd imagine. So it's interesting, and at the least, that some people don't have that. And it's also interesting that some people don't. So everybody is their own kind of universe. You know what I mean? So... it depends on what you bring to the table. The problem is what's an illusion and what isn't, what's real and
yeah.
What isn't. But all of these experiences that don't make sense and don't fit are the ones to look at. And those are the very ones that the topic I was suggesting tonight is that we can't process.
Yeah.
And it's way easier to fucking turn on the TV or just what the fuck or
yeah.
Read a book or just, you know what I mean?
It's definitely less challenging to do that. But, this is such a crazy topic to try to, because now...
how do you talk about what you can't talk about?
Yeah, right. Because we're talking about perceptions that we haven't had or...
It's an idea discussion.
Or that are all subjective.
It's ideas. But certainly with UFOs, it's an interesting thing because there are many cases where people saw shit in a group and some of them said, I was looking right there, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And your brain does filter shit out. That's a fact.
Right.
And one of the big things with me is trying to understand what I filter out.
Oh, God.
Because some of my memories and things don't match up with my brother's memories. I'm thinking, God, how...
but that's
what,
like...
what dictates what I'm filtering out? It must be comfort or inability to process. Those are two things I could think of.
It could be that. I also heard that, like, anytime you remember something, you're kind of rewriting that memory.
Yeah.
And so you're always sort of changing it. Anytime you think about it, you're changing it. And so...
it's like a copy that changes slightly.
Yeah, it's like a bad Xerox of a bad Xerox.
Yeah.
And so the fact... or the when your memories don't match up with your brother's... could just mean that you're remembering different aspects of it. You know what I mean? And it's like...
yeah.
But that is to the core of it, though, Wade. That's what I'm saying. That what...
well, no, I totally understand what you're saying. And that's like the perception of the memory is, this is what was important to me. That's what I remembered about it.
Or here's what I filtered out for reasons that were subjective to me.
Right.
And UFOs would certainly, or anything like that, ghosts or whatever, what the fuck, right? I mean,
yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
Those are the things you're going to filter out. That's going to screw up your fucking head.
But this conversation is sort of ending our podcast because when you can't take anything at face value, there's nothing more to talk about. Like,
let's not go to that extreme.
Let's say
each person has a different level of filtering out information. Let's start there.
Okay.
Rather than there's no way to get a consensus.
Right.
The whole thing, I think we'll agree, is a consensus reality anyways. That's the that's the principle of science. It's all consensus. The unspoken superstition of science is that there's an objective thing that is out there itself that has these fucking rules and shit, but it's all processed through our brains.
Yeah, because
so that
you hear
principle
about,
of science is fucked up.
When you hear about different universes or even different where the laws of physics would be different because there is different everything in that. Well, I don't know. I don't want to go into that.
You could imagine
like
a million different mathematics that go off in different directions that are different from ours. The interesting and beautiful part of science is that there are so many connections and so much consensus of measurement. It's amazing. And in mathematics, it's incredible. It's unfucking believable. The stuff that math says that some of my math friends say, it's like, you know, this doesn't make any sense. That's where parallel worlds and all this kind of crazy shit comes from that doesn't make any sense at all. And it just, you know, you just filter it out. But it's all there kind of in the math. It's kind of like all numbers and all relationships between measurements.
Well, that's where this hologram thing comes from, right? Like, it was taking Einstein's, I'm retarded, but like it's whatever Einstein's math,
relativity,
and then string theory or whatever. It's like connecting them,
taking general relativity and quantum mechanics, because quantum mechanic rules don't apply to relativity and back and forth.
And the only way that they match up is
that's what string
if you
string theory is trying to connect.
They don't
those.
Connect up the. Relativity is for macro, for large objects, for outer space, for planets and stuff like that, and it's super successful. It's fucking genius. Yeah. And quantum is for tiny, for the small thing, and that's super successful for that.
Because like the law of gravity doesn't work on neutrons and protons and stuff.
But
they those two things contradict each other.
Right.
That's a problem.
But that's the thing about this hologram theory, is that whatever they... I mean, you gotta help me.
The unifying theory, the string theory, them trying to connect the dots is what's the Higgs boson.
But I thought they had like made a way to make them both make sense, and what that resulted in is that we're a hologram.
No, I don't think there's a relationship to that.
It's not as defined yet, because M theory is the most popular string theory, because there's a lot of string theory theories, but the math is all a little bit different. But I believe M theory suggests that there are 11 dimensions, 11 spatial dimensions around us. So it's like up, down, left, right, and then 7 more, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And
whatever that means.
Proving that them trying to find the Higgs boson would help prove the theory of M theory more, because it had to do with,
Well, what's this God particle thing? Are we getting way too off? Are we getting too into science?
No, we're not, but I'm just not as familiar with...
We need a scientist to talk about
this. Well, go back to holograms for a second. Michael Talbot wrote this book called The Holographic Universe, and that's where it said about the 11 dimensions and all that kind of stuff. So I met the guy. So I asked him, what's this? He says, it's math. It's just math. He says, it doesn't make any sense. But that's what the math says in this particular type of math, that there's 11 dimensions in this branch of math.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the implication was that, or at least, you know, I could be totally wrong, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Is that there are infinite types of math, a lot of them contradicting each other, but it's where they come in, where things mesh, where they have recurring, where things are consensus, where you have recurring experiments and you can have, like, things happen over and over again where you can prove things.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could go back to high school and tell my trigonometry teacher that there's infinite maths and that whatever I was doing is right in a certain math.
You'd have to prove it, though.
Well, I would prove it just by going like, yeah, it's proven.
Oh, you write down nonsense numbers.
Yeah, in this math that I just made up, it makes sense.
Maybe if they got insane people to write nonsense math on blackboards every day for 100 years...
just like the monkeys and the typewriters.
The typewriters. Yeah. But in the next room, we have mental people writing on blackboard numbers.
Let's do it.
And you say this. You can do it this way. Mental people. you can think of your math that you're doing as spells or enchantments.
Right.
So you can say that 5 and 4 equals 1. I mean, but make sure you're consistent through all these things.
Right.
But that's the enchantment. You have to write the rules of the enchantments.
Yeah.
Now, no?
Yeah. I bet they would come up with some pretty crazy shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how this applies to what we're talking about. Well, I can't even get a grasp on what we're talking about. I'm too dumb for this.
No, nobody knows what the limits of perception are, and that's what we're talking about. Because when you're talking about UFOs, the data's contradictory, number one, first of all, and then it exists, number two.
This is going to sound really lame. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
I'm watching this bad show from 2009 called Flash Forward. And it's about these people. Everybody in the world passes out for like 2 minutes.
Wow.
And they all see their future.
Wow.
And I'm only 2 episodes in, but I think I'm ahead of the game. Like I think I know what's going to happen.
That's ironic.
Come off like an idiot, but
did you pass out and then you knew what was going to happen?
I passed out and I saw the end of the show. But it has to do with this. I'm not just saying this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perception thing because they all see what they're going to be doing on a certain date. And some of them are like, oh, that's definitely what's going to happen. Like, I hope that happens. And others are like, I don't want that to happen. My whole thing is like...
So they would act against it? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
But they haven't gotten to that point yet. No. Like, at this point, when I'm watching it, everyone is just going like, oh, that's my future. And the people who are going to be dead just didn't see anything. Apparently, I'm not sure.
Sure.
2 episodes in.
Yeah.
But what I think is, if you didn't like what you saw, you could easily change it.
That's
if you liked
cool.
what you saw, you could like try and stay the course.
I think that'd be the hardest thing ever to stay the course.
It would be the hardest.
Yeah. Because you know what?
Everything that you did, you'd be second guessing.
It goes back to what he said earlier, though, about when you imagine a. How did you say it, Will? You said. People that have a vision of what's going to happen in the future, and you, what did you? I'm going to keep looking at a bag of money.
Yeah,
and I'll eventually get the bag of money.
I'll envision certain things that like.
Oh, like the secret.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that board,
a vision board.
Yeah,
a
vision board.
I've heard
board.
Of the secret. I don't know what it is, but that's an old thing, way
See,
back
I,
where
I
you focus on like a picture of a that they think the cavemen did that. They drew the animals, and then they would look at it, and then they would be more likely to get energized or to, however it works, to make things happen by focusing on an image. It's probably, the way we understand it is that if you focus on a bag of money, that then you're thinking about it all the time, and usually we're just fucking around and not thinking about a bag of money.
Yeah.
So the person who's thinking about, looking at that picture, it has it here, it looks at it every 6 minutes, he's going to be more likely to get the bag of money.
Well, I grew up Baptist, and one thing that always stuck in my head. First off, I got in the argument with my youth pastor that like Jonah might have been swallowed by a whale instead of a big fish. And I was like, no, the Bible says a big fish. I'm like, well, we didn't have a classification system of the whale back then. Maybe it was a whale. No, it says it was a big fish. Whatever. The fuck was I gonna say?
About the imagining something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But they always said that, like, you know, imagining yourself robbing a bank is just as bad as robbing a bank.
Oh, fuck that.
You know? And it always
Who
weirded,
says that?
Well, my old church.
That's retarded. That's the dumbest thing I've ever
was
heard.
Was this the one guy, the leader, who said that?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's just like the lust thing
but
is as bad
but
as
But what's
like...
great about it, though, because, like, for a long time in my life, I've been like, fuck that. No, it's not, because I didn't do it. But now that I'm getting into like the power of thought and stuff, and it's like,
yeah.
Well, it's like it just made me.
It's making sense to you now.
What are you saying?
Well, it's making me.
You're devout.
This would be good, Willie. You go insane on this broadcast. This would be fucking awesome. All right, keep talking.
It's not don't take it as robbing a bank, but it's like basically that positive thoughts people can if my energy. Is affected by other people. And if I can affect other people with my own energy, then thinking negative thoughts, no matter how idiotic or whatever, is going to affect other people in that way. So just think, try to be positive, try to have love in my heart.
Like...
And it's not specifically robbing a bank, but it's like, if you are thinking of you know, that life's not fair and that you deserve more, and you're running around with this chip on your shoulder, that negative thought is going to affect
everyone.
No,
there's so many people who are just filled with envy and jealousy that they'll never get anything because that's all they're caught up on. I think that's a thing. Like, I think the power of prayer is a thing. Like, I think positive thinking.
I think positive thinking, prayer, is the a secret. Thing. I think it's all in my world, that I've created, it's all legit.
But I don't think it's I don't think it's like supernatural. I think it's just psyching yourself up. You know, I think like if you're gonna be upset about something, you're gonna be upset about it. Like, if you're going to be positive about something, you're going to find
but
more reasons to be
here's a question that
positive.
I have for you. Now, I understand that, yeah, we're human, and yeah, we've got the reptilian part of our brain that freaks out, blah, blah, blah. But, but is it possible for you to never get upset about anything else in your life again? Like, is that something that you can choose and live?
Well, your premise is that you're thinking now sincerely that if you have negative thoughts, it's a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
And I don't have any expertise about it, but here's why I would say that. You should be free to think any fucking thought you want. You could think bad thoughts. If you start policing your own thoughts, the worst thing about, like, you know, not fundamentalist atheist or somebody who's a control person who's worried about people believing things, that's where you get – you're not a lover of freedom. You should be free with yourself and be able to say wrong things and not worry about it, and also to fucking do wrong things and to think wrong things.
I'm so happy you said that.
For real.
Because, like, I hear a lot of comedians do this, but, like, I beat myself up so much, and I'm like, why can't I just not beat myself up? And, like, yeah, you're right. It's because I'm inherently judging myself because I started not because I started in the church, but I've gotten to that habit of, like, that's wrong.
Oh, the church.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. Like, hating somebody else is one of the most therapeutic things that I do. I fucking love it. It's like chocolate cake. When you hate someone, it's so good. I'm not saying you have to, like, make an enemy of them or be bad to them, but when you, like, kind of don't like someone, and you're like,
here's the thing.
I really like not liking
first
that
of all,
person.
We'd be incapable of writing any comedy without that person on the set. So, yeah. I mean, literally, there would be zero comedy.
Right, yeah.
So, but that's like fucking sarcasm level humor where you also, you're also thinking that, let me stop at the idea how fun it is to hate somebody because they're a fucking idiot, instead of thinking, oh, well, I'm the same exact guy.
Right. Yeah,
I'm exactly
it
the same.
It also takes
in
your mind
other
off
way.
Of how bad you are.
So that's an illusion, and that's another. That's as bad as what he's saying about policing his thoughts and not being worried about fucking making mistakes and shit. So as long as you just like earlier talking about, you got to acknowledge that there's phonies, you know, there's con men and there's people who do all that. You have to just sort of acknowledge that at the beginning. So that's a responsible thing to do when you're talking with people about things that we filter out, physical events that don't make sense, which happen, but most people deny because it's too fucking overwhelming, and it's easier to hear people agree with you. Yeah, those things are all fake, and it's so confusing because unless someone says, yeah, there are a lot of phonies, and I mean, I do it myself, and a lot of my magician friends, that's their whole thing. You just trick people, and it's fun. It's because you're kind of feeling this creative street theater thing happening in your life, you know?
Yeah.
But to hate someone and then to stop at the thought that it's fun is like only half of it. Because you want the greatest thing ever is to think, oh, I'm smart right now. That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing ever without a doubt, next to the giggly thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So if you, after you hate someone, say, that fucking idiot, what a unself-aware fucking more. Oh, I'm like that. And then it's way better. Then it's like a level of thinking
because
beyond
you learn
that.
Something. Yeah, and you move on. Like, but that's a perception that like you put upon yourself, and then you go like, oh, I'm not gonna be a fucking dickhead anymore. You know,
well, no, you'll always be a dickhead. I don't agree with you. I think it's just a moment by moment realization
thing. Like at one point, you're going like, Listen. I've read emails that I wrote like 5 years ago, and I'm a totally like 5 years ago. I'm like, who the fuck is this?
That's the best
who
example.
Is that? He's a fucking idiot and he's an asshole. What the fuck was he thinking?
Yep.
And that's you exactly. Every moment of your fucking life.
Yeah.
And it's never going to get better.
Well, you
it's
know what?
It's always going to be that way.
You just were disagreeing with yourself a second ago, and I was arguing against it, but I think it's somewhere between what we're saying. Here's what you were saying before, was that when you get the thought, that fucking idiot, I hate him. Oh, wait a minute, I'm like that, right? And then you said for a moment, yeah, then you kind of learn, you remember.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of trying to be funny, saying you never learn anything. You're always going to be an idiot.
Yeah.
But really, the first thing you said is the true one, because you can, the more experience you have, because did you start writing when you were a kid?
For the most part.
Me too. And so I'm a good writer because I started when I was fucking 12. That's
yeah.
the only reason. That's the only reason. And it's because just practicing over and over and over and over again.
See, my thing is I write on the fly. I have a hard time sitting down and writing something, but it's like.
So you're more of a witty.
Turn the camera on and it'll work out. Just turn the camera on and we'll get it.
Yeah.
I don't want any rehearsal. What am I going to rehearse? Just do it fake and then do it real? I'm like, no, just go. Let's go.
Fucking what's his name? We'll do it live. You know that asshole.
Have you guys ever?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know the fucking Fox. Fucking.
I don't know Fox.
There was this old clip of a news reporter that like they fucked up his teleprompter.
No, it's not just a news reporter. It's the fucking face of Fox.
So it's some
fuck
idiot.
Is his name.
Whatever he is.
You know the guy.
I'm sure I do.
People are just screaming right now.
I love that none of us can pull his name out right now.
It's good. It's probably good that we all forgot his name.
But the point of that was just, we were talking about when you, first of all, it's fun talking about when you hate things and the connecting that to comedy writing.
I still like it.
Yeah.
I still like hating things.
It's fun.
Well, my thing is like, what I've come to find is that the things that I hate are what I don't want to be.
Yeah.
Just so unaware. I'm the guy that yells at traffic I've been really good lately because I'm just like, well, don't pay attention to traffic. just do your own thing.
Hey, have you killed people? There's something going on.
No, but
okay,
I just want to ask. So the other day I was driving and somebody cut me off so bad to where I had to slam on my brakes, right?
Ooh.
And you know, I'm not going to flip him off. I did honk. But what do? I wait till he cuts back over, and then I turn into his lane so that he's got to slam on his brakes.
That's awful.
I know.
That's
but
how
like,
road rage begins. That's
like,
how people
me,
get cut
to
with
me,
knives.
To me, though, what justifies me in doing it is, like, this is what it felt like for me. This is why you got to pay attention. And
I know,
like,
Wade, I could have
just ran into him.
You just said the same thing about hating people, how fun it is.
No.
It's the same fucking thing.
But I do it in a very... humane way.
Yeah, I've been chased. I've been chased home like 5 times.
It's all in my mind. I'm very good friends with a lot of the people who I have chocolate cake eating.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say who
hatred,
you
hatred for.
Oh,
yeah. No, like there are people who I can't stand who I hang out with constantly. and when I get done with that and I go home. And I just think about it, and I hate them.
Do you have conversations with them in your mind? Over and over?
Only if they say something I don't have a comeback for, because I'm not very quick-witted.
Me neither.
So I'm I don't think, it makes me think nobody is, right?
No, but you are. Dude.
I don't, I'm 50-50. If I'm drinking, I'll say something because the filter's gone of like, don't think about what you're saying.
Well, it might have to do with two, because you're like me. I'm like a writer, so it's all, I'm not like glib.
Yeah.
And so you said, well, no, that's not the way that it comes with me. So that's what a witty person is where it's more in the moment and this kind of thing. And each type admires the other and wishes they were the other.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Have you, now wait, I know that you've done some meditation on your own. Have you ever, are you into meditation at all? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
So I last year I started doing Vedic meditation where I've got a mantra, it's in my head. I don't need to chant out loud or anything. Not that I'm knocking that, but I'm just like, it's all internal. And I kind of stopped recently. I've got a lot of anxiety. I'm afraid of the world.
You don't seem it at all, dude. You don't seem it at all.
Yeah, I'm not on purpose, but like...
You're a funny guy. You don't seem that way.
You get me by myself, and like, I've been stuck before. Have you ever been stuck where like, I forgot to turn the blinds down in the house, and I was looking, and I was like, oh my God, I can't see out the window, and anything outside can see me. Huh. And so I stood there for a half hour, just having a panic attack, looking at each window, going like, How am I gonna close these blinds?
Huh.
Like, it just freaked me out so bad where I got stuck and I couldn't move.
What was the nature of the fear?
What?
Being watched?
Something out there. Something out there.
Watching you.
Yeah, yeah. And or the danger of if I get close to the window, something could break through the window and attack me.
Look, you're being super honest, dude, and I'm sure you do too. We have equally as retarded, crazy things. But was there something in your childhood, just to ask the obvious question, that happened?
I mean, first off, since it's anxiety, it's almost like I irrationally go out of control in my head. So when I say I'm afraid of everything, it's because when I'm in a situation, my brain goes crazy in the wrong way. Huh. I used to not be able to fly. Huh. I can't stand next to cliffs. If I'm next to a cliff with you, I will get as far away from you as I can, because I don't trust that I'm not going to throw you off.
That's everybody.
Oh, that you want? No, everybody. not that he's afraid he's going to throw me off, though. So
I feel like my body's going to go. Ah.
I think most people are afraid the person's going to push them off, the other person that they're with, or that you're just going to dive off.
Yeah, I have panic attacks.
I've never thought that, so you just created a fear in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never had that thought ever.
When I was in first grade, I watched Poltergeist, and I haven't slept since, because it freaked my shit. And then also, you know, we grew up kind of poor. We were in a trailer park, and our parents would leave us alone all the time. And my mom was from the Philippines, and she was very afraid of America in such a way where she would say, if someone knocked on the door, she'd get down, hide. And our whole life was like, hide.
Well, that's the source of the example you said about, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I have that instinct, and I never grew up that way. When somebody knocks on my door, I just want to hide.
But like, we also
don't want to interact with people.
We also had a peeping
Tom.
Oh,
you don't want to interact. It was not fear. It's just
I don't want them to know I'm home.
Because you don't want to have to deal.
My thing is, I'm afraid of someone, you know, I'm more afraid. I'll talk to anybody,
somebody,
but I'm afraid of
you.
Someone attacking me.
Because of what your mom said, told you when you were a kid.
That's crazy.
Also, like...
No, it's not crazy.
It's crazy that happened to him. It's 100% not crazy that he's reacting this way.
Right.
Because we also used to have a peeping Tom in our trailer park, and you would, you know, the next morning you'd get out of your house and you'd find like 20 cigarette butts outside your window.
So it turned out to be your dad.
I thought about that because my dad used to smoke, and I was like, "Is it him watching us?" Like, I can't remember if it was his type of cigarettes, but we definitely had a peeping Tom in our trailer park, and
the idea of when you're a kid, you get programmed for things. Certainly, there's something to that.
It's the most terrifying. It's so fucking scary to think about that.
Especially
because
when you have
no control over any
when you
of
fuck
that.
With other people's kids, or you see them fucking with their kids, like, ah, yeah. Because we are the guy, my best friend in high school, ended up marrying his sister, and when he was growing up, his dad used to hide in his closet, wait till he got to sleep, and then scare the shit out of him, and he has OCD.
I see.
And I'm like, dude. Like, I love, you know, if I had a kid, yeah, I would love to fuck with it, but I'm so damaged that I couldn't ever do that.
I just think it's terrifying to know that,
now
like,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I just think it's scary to know that we have that impact on children.
Yeah. So take
that's
that.
Why you should
take,
stay
take
away
my
from
anxiety
children.
And then picture me trying to figure out that we are gods and whatever I think I can create, and then picture me going like, what if I accidentally create a demon? What if I accidentally create a poltergeist? Like, then it just, I just start freaking out sometimes by myself, where I'm like, I don't know if I believe in this stuff, but do I believe that I could create this stuff that could freak me out? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I mean, that's like, I live alone, and I only have a cat there, and the cat is like the most comforting thing to me.
See,
because if I freak my, I'm very good at freaking myself out. Like, if I watch a scary movie or whatever, I'm not a horror fan. Like, they don't really fuck with me, but they kind of do. Like, if I'm laying in bed and I picture my coat rack as a person, It like fucks with me for the rest of the night.
If that's what the movie's supposed to do.
Yeah. So like.
It's not you as much as that's what the movie's supposed
to
do.
You're talking about the comfort of the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if I have that cat there, it's better. I don't know. I was just thinking about what you were saying. Like only I only do it after I see a bad movie. You do it.
Constantly.
Like every night.
I sleep with the light on. Every night,
huh.
Because I've come to the point where I'm like crazy.
I mean, if I'm sleeping with someone in the bed, there's a comfort there, so I can turn the light off.
Yeah.
But if I'm by myself, I'm like, if I wake up, I'll make shapes out of shadows, and I'm like, it'll just freak me out. So just leave the lights on. So when I wake up, like, oh, there's nothing there, go back to sleep. But whenever like animals freak me out too, because every now and then you'll see a cat or a dog like staring at the wall, or just looking at something.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you looking at? Is there something here that I can't see that you're aware of?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a horror movie about a monster who only exists when it's light. And just like really fuck over all those children who think that they're okay
that they're safe
when the light's on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be the best.
At the worst time of my life, I could not sleep until the sun came up. So I would go outside and turn all the lights on and just smoke cigarettes with my roommate outside. And then as soon as the sun came up, like, all right, I can go to sleep now because it's safe. That happened for like a year, and that it wasn't good. But it sucks because all of these things that I'm telling you that are discrediting me are discrediting
you. They're not discrediting you on this episode, like, because this episode is about perception.
Yeah, it's about perception. But you made me think of something, Willie. Did you have something else you were
saying?
No. The idea of you keeping the light on, you need some booze?
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt. No, I want the, give me the pomegranate or whatever it was.
The idea of you sleeping with the light on, that to me is sanity. And here's why. I was talking with this, I'm always interested in how it works when if you're a shrink, because I'm very interested in how it works with role playing in terms of people who are performers or comedians. They have to take control of the stage and they kind of have to play a role. Or if you're interviewed for a job, the guy who's behind the desk is the exact same as you.
Yeah.
But he's playing a role of interviewing you and being the authority figure. It's just all you just switch places and it would be
easy.
It's all about that. So
relaxing.
I asked this guy who was a shrink how he would stop someone who was crazy to get them better. What's his which branch of psychiatry or whatever, because I know nothing, right? And he said it's simple. He says the type that I do is you don't try to cure anyone or make, I mean, if they have you know, visions or the schizophrenic, then you get the medication and it's very time consuming. You have to figure it out. Or if they have high anxiety, it makes it so they can't function, then you try to also do some either, you know, diet or medication that works, and it's proven that you can change someone's life for the better for any of those things, obviously.
Yeah.
But he said, if someone's crazy, in the general sense, he says, I don't try to cure them. I focus on how to make them act sane and to do behaviors that seem sane so they can get through the day.
So it's not about... It's not about mentalness. It's about behavioral repetition kind of thing where it's like so that you – is it so that they seem sane to other people?
Yes.
Or see, yeah.
As long as they can get
crazy
through.
Crazy as head all day long.
It was amazing. It was the most – this has helped me with writing a lot, by the way, because if he wasn't – his premise was everybody's crazy. That's what the premise bottom line's
yeah.
at. And so – if you have extra craziness, and we all do have different areas of it, you know, I mean, you were very honest with some of the stuff, but that's all because of your mom, you know, God bless her. But Duck, you know, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you're imprinted, you get a loop there for a long time, you know, but.
To his credit, he's getting better.
You're hilarious. You're the most easygoing, fun guy ever.
Around people.
Yeah.
I could never live alone. I've planned to never live alone. I can't.
Well, it's
do
a
it.
Meditation thing. You got over flying. You could get over,
yeah.
you know.
But I don't
if
know
you
if
weren't
I could fly
so broke,
over
you
water.
Could probably
like,
live
that's
alone.
That's a whole other thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I don't envision myself ever traveling.
I just had a really
world.
Good cut down that you didn't even hear.
What was it? Repeat it.
I said if you weren't so broke, you could probably live alone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that on and off is true of all of us. So that cut down is ricochets back.
Wait, but I want to know more about this. He tells people to just act normal.
No, it's not just. There's no just involved. It's each person is a different case, so it's a case by case thing. So they say, well, okay, what do you?
So when you go to the yogurt aisle, stand there for 5 minutes because there's too many yogurts to pick from. Act like you're analyzing how many yogurts there are.
That's a very good example. If you can, if you're suddenly afraid of something, then don't act and freak out. Make it look like you're actually just so that you can seem to act like everyone else and sane.
Right.
So you can get through this experience and move on to the next thing. Don't put yourself down and freak out more and more. Oh, I'm crazy. Yeah. I'm fucked. I can't move. What the fuck? Instead of that, just sort of accept it. This is what he was saying. He said, because I asked him for examples, just like you just asked.
Yeah.
And he said, case by case, you whatever the thing is that they can't do, like you in the room, it's similar to what he said in the supermarket when you're freezing in front of avocados. You just make like you're looking at them, but really you're thinking about slitting people's throats or something. You just have to get past it. Let those thoughts just move past and don't be afraid of yourself. Just let it go and you're not going to get me this time. Fuck you. And just, it was very interesting because
it's just misdirection. It's tricking yourself because your brain, your mind is so overpoweringly focusing on something it shouldn't be that's where the panic's coming from.
Right.
Because like when I'm having a panic attack, all I do is try to find my pulse.
Well, that's
because I'm so bad at it that I have to focus on it for so long that like I'll forget that I'm not breathing weird and it'll come back to normal.
That would be what the guy would tell you about that if you had it, maybe, you know what I mean? You'd say, yeah. Well, do what action would calm you down? And you'd say, well, look at this.
Because I've dated so many girls like three. but like where they didn't know I was having
three
a panic
is still more
attack.
Than me.
Where they didn't know I would have panic attacks all the
How
time
would you cover
around
it up?
Them. And I'd just be like, secretly checking my pulse and like
That's
trying
brilliant.
To do
That's
things
fucking
normal,
brilliant,
you know.
Dude. That's so
and I'm just,
great.
But then afterwards, I'd be like, they'd be like, what was wrong or, whatever. And I'd be like, I was having a panic attack. I'm like, why didn't you tell me? Like, if I told you, it would perpetuate the whole thing and you might freak out with me or think that I need help or something. And
you
I don't
so,
need help.
You are so right. So you're doing the principle that this guy had told me that it was so thought changing to me. The idea that everybody's crazy. If you just don't act crazy, then you'll do fine.
Because if I tell someone something's wrong, they're going to start panicking too.
Right.
Even if it's a tiny bit, and it's just going to escalate.
Right.
Can I just ask you in a very selfish way how that helped your writing? Like, how did you apply that?
Because it made me realize everybody's crazy and that it's okay to be – everybody's a different universe of thought.
Yeah.
And there's no everybody. I don't even know how we're talking now. It doesn't even make sense. My daughter said that once to me when she was a kid. She said, Dad, how do I, you know what it was? I got up and she came out of her bedroom and then it was in the morning, like at 9 in the morning on a Saturday or 9:30 or 10. She said, Dad, I have a question. She said, how do you know what I'm saying when I'm talking to you now?
Oh, that's awesome.
I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I'm saying sounds and we know the language of it. But how do you know what the words are in connection with each other? And how do you know these sounds mean what I mean? Because it's
right.
just in my head. And I said, Olivia, that is the question that no one knows the answer to. How consciousness transferred from mind to mind is a mystery. And it's so easy to gloss over. Oh, well, your brain picks up the sounds and you have a memory that blah, blah, blah. But there's something deeper about that whole thing that she cut to being a kid, not having all these experiences where you just filter it out.
Did you tell her that it was Jesus Christ?
I said it was Jesus.
And he died for her sins and she should get baptized.
Dude, I had this moment one time where I got super high. Well, in college, we had this friend that had this 5-foot bong. Which nobody has any business.
Wait, hang on. Let me ask you something really quick about bongs. Does it matter how long they are?
No, no, no. But the amount of smoke you get, like it'll just fuck you up.
Oh, it'll. The more smoke, the better.
If you can hold it in, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And so, all you need is a tiny, tiny hit. You fill up this 5-foot bong, and everyone's in like a different world. So there was this time where I got way too high, and then. Every word that somebody said to me, it's like I stopped using my eyes and I could see my brain and every word had a corresponding shape that was like, oh, this little map right here creates a shape. Wow. That was how I saw words were shapes of and I could be wrong about this whole thing. It might have been a bad trip, but the way that I saw it was and a bad trip on weed.
Sounds like a good trip.
All of these different neurons lighting up and creating a shape.
Sure.
Is that word.
Yeah.
And so I was going off on this for a while. I was like, so I started saying words and these shapes started coming up, and then I would say the same word over and over to see if the shape would remain the same, and I'd be like, hey, say this word to me, just to see if the shape came back. And I was just...
And what did it?
And for that time, it did. And it
That's
freaked
amazing.
Me out to go like... Is this all languages? Is
and then someone
and,
was
and
like,
and that is all languages. Is like neurons firing, and this interpretation comes. It means this. Boop 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 boop.
Have you seen cymatics videos? When cymatics is the study of vibrations and how it. Shapes of vibrations of different sounds.
The sand on the speakers.
It's all about the sand. So that's imagine that 3D.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so,
have you ever had a sound bath?
What's that?
Well, okay, take Cymatics.
You mean like at that place you go up to, the Integratron?
The Integratron, yeah. So take...
That guy was a nut.
Because like
yeah,
I believe that he was visited by people from Venus, and they gave him plans for that thing. That's how he made it.
He was nutty. I mean, you've read about the guy's life, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they still have never found him. He's disappeared. Supposedly, these Venetians landed on his airstrip, gave him plans for a time machine, and he created the Integratron, where it was a harmonically sound building. You can get a sound bath there, and they've never found his body. I mean, obviously, he was taken out by some kind of government, I think.
Yeah. So, what's a sound bath?
Well, what was the word? Cymatic.
Cymatic. C Y M A T I C S.
So.
All it is
if you're following along in your textbook.
If you take
shape of vibrations.
The thing about this, if you take string theory supposes that the smallest thing in the world is a vibrating string.
I know, but what does that mean?
But all that means is that whatever this string is will determine what molecule it'll be or whatever. But what it means to me is that our entire existence is sound. We are a vibrating string. We are sound. We are sound, vibrational energy. And so when they do these studies where they put sand on speakers and they change the notes, and you see that like they'll have this three-dimensional shape that the sand is moving in, and it creates geometry. So what that means to me is that like the universe is vibrational energy, and your energy can get out of whack. Where it's like you're not creating this great geometry, and the energy of your life is not flowing harmoniously. And so supposedly the sound bath like resets you so that you can go back to living harmoniously. But the weirdest thing about it is, I mean, this goes into – so I think that our whole existence is vibrational energy. And if you want to travel interdimensionally, it's like a radio frequency. You change the station, and that's how we don't know how to do that. But interdimensional beings are basically just changing their frequencies to match ours or to not be in ours. And,
I know, but where did the concept of interdimensional creatures come from?
Well, interdimensional is just a weird word because we...
Isn't that a science fiction concept rather than anything based in any creatures that said, hey, I'm from another dimension?
Yeah, but to me, though, I feel like a lot of our, writers can get influence from tapping into the universe and tapping into the ether, and they'll see things the way they are and just treat that as a story or an idea.
I know, but you could also make up stories.
Yeah, yeah.
So... The Integratron guy, you might want to check into that again, Will, because I don't think his body was missing. I think it's a very well known what the guy's trip was. So just check into that again. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think. I remember looking that up.
I did see a great interview with him, though, from like the 1960s, where, you know, back when journalism was real, this journalist was like taking his story at face value and being like, well, what then? What? Tell me what they said. Tell me, instead of like, that can't be real. whatever.
Smart journalist.
But one thing about all this if we are vibrational energy, and then there could be music that naturally takes your body out of harmony, and so, you know, you hear the devil's music, you hear about the Illuminati taking over the music industry. What if the Illuminati figured out, because I believe in the Illuminati, what if the Illuminati...
Why do you believe in that?
Because I've seen too many people running from it.
Yeah, but that isn't a basis of a belief.
I know.
But let me just go back to the core of what you're saying, which is a cool fucking topic. And I don't know what it has to do with filtering thoughts out, but it has to do with how everything works, is that people don't like certain types of music. And so we think, oh, that person's closed-minded. No, maybe their body's built fucking differently, and they don't like metal music because it creates vibrational changes like we saw with the cymatic stuff. These are metal plates. Have you seen those things? They have an ascending tone.
I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah. And as it goes up, there are thresholds but it's sudden thresholds. Suddenly it's a fucking very elaborate, exacting, a geometric shape. And as it reaches, then suddenly it does it like a science fiction CGI thing.
And it's just
real.
Sounds.
Totally real.
It's totally real.
Duplicated.
But it's flowing. That geometrical shape is the sand is flowing through that shape. So this sound is creating a shape that the sand can flow through.
But what I'm getting
crazy
at is the idea of, oh, well, this is devil's music. And I think here's this. Look at what devil's music would mean to somebody who's a devil believer would be that it's something that makes them feel bad. So some people's bodies, those shapes of vibrations, because they're fucking shapes, we can see it on that simple experiment, would affect their body negatively and probably their thoughts.
So if you take in...
So that doesn't mean there's any good music or bad
music. Yeah.
Not at all.
And
it means
could be different for everybody.
Right.
But there is definitely bad music. Shapes. I mean, there's like really bad. Like, nobody wants to listen to the fucking squiggly Australian guys sing about kids' music. What are those guys' names?
The
Wigglers or whatever. Like, that's bad music. For sure.
We're talking about two different subjects. Well, you're talking about good art or bad art.
Here's the difference.
It's not about musical sounds.
Let me tell you about
that are good or bad.
Americans. I know that these guys are Australians, but a lot of people listen to music for the poetry with music accompaniment. I like to listen to music, and if there's voice there, it better match the music.
I think that there's... You guys are maybe keying into something, and maybe you're not. Like, here's the thing. When I was in college, I liked, you know, like Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
And they're not like an offensive music style at all. Like, they're just a very kind of like fratty whatever.
Right.
Now I don't like them that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was ever a point where it was like going against the grain of like my audio sort of imprint.
I think taste is intelligent. Your music taste is intelligent. And some people stop listening to new things, but for people that are trying to continuously find something new, that the old stuff won't be as good because you found something better and you've...
But you're talking about like, okay, these are geometrical shapes, and that means like,
no,
what exactly?
It just means that maybe the people that hate so-called devil music because it's very abrasive or atonic music or dissonant music would be because their bodies and nervous systems are not able to kick back or absorb it, and it fucks up their fucking body rhythms.
But you know what I'd be interested in doing is like putting... I guarantee if you put enough songs on there, there's a Britney Spears song that looks geometrically exactly the same as like fucking Metallica song.
But every note is different, right? So like every note creates a different shape.
It would look
so
way
you
different,
mix them
dude.
All together.
It would look way different.
Really? You
yeah.
think? You
it's
don't think
like,
there's
yeah.
any two songs that would like look the
well,
same?
What,
like if
thing,
Donnie and Marie released
it's
a
sound
song.
The idea of it is that it's just like with, what do you call it when you talk into a mic and you get an oscilloscope thing? What do you call it? The sound waves.
The wavelengths.
Like
yeah.
in a recording studio. Uh-huh. None of them are identical unless you have the same exact
So you don't think this, these sands would form any of the same shapes?
No, look it up yourself.
Yeah, the thing is,
the premise you're saying is false.
Like I was saying, though, like, these are it's not these are notes. When you play music, the whole thing's moving around, right? Like it's a note that will create a shape. This note has a geometric.
But then, how do you
basically what that is saying, though, is that sound is math.
Let me ask you something.
And the universe is sound, so the universe is math.
So because my tastes have changed over the years, what does that mean?
To me, it means that you're listening to music intellectually, not.
No, but doesn't it mean something like more cosmically? Like
go
more...
back to when you looked at your old emails.
You fucker. Why would you bring that back?
Yeah, but I same with me. I went writing when I'm 12 or writing when I'm 16, writing when I'm 20,
so it's a growth thing. It's a growth thing.
So it's because of the way you listen to music.
Right? I get it.
Okay, what this science though is that like
But then that means that there is no devil music because
it's totally subjective. Totally.
People are gonna relate to it at different points.
That's what I was reacting against that's like
I'm using devil as like I'm saying though, take away the devil. What I'm saying though is that okay, this note has this geometric shape, right?
I totally understand what you're saying.
But I've never finished what I'm trying to say this whole time is that like in between these notes are not geometric shapes, and there's discord and that. So, like, here's a geometric shape. When it goes in between this shape and this shape from this note to this note, it, like, molds into nothing, and then it turns into a shape.
Those were thresholds we could see physically on those metal plates.
So what some people suggest is that the whole point of the Illuminati and the music industry is to create that disharmony in between those geometric shapes so that when you're listening to the music, it's actually affecting your whole existence, your vibration, your geometry,
that's guys,
and just taking you out of discord.
Look, that's guys looking at a phenomenon in between and then believing in some evil people. What the fuck?
Yeah,
and then,
it's saying that
they're purposely doing. It's like a whole bunch of maybes that are fucked up.
And I've also just disproved all of that because you only like some shit at a certain point in your life. And
no,
so,
he's
like,
talking about a physical reaction. Is what he's saying. He's saying that physical reaction of a certain vibration
affects your vibration.
But here's a different thing. Since I'm a kid, I like this composer called Charles Ives. He's like in the 1800s, and he did all this music. He was sometimes a hack on purpose, which was great.
I've never heard of him.
He would do hacky music on purpose, and he would alternate it with he would have a beautiful symphony he would write. He went to Yale, and he was a super musician. Then he would have half the musician break off, and they would start playing total atonal bullshit. And he was a millionaire, so he didn't fucking care if people liked it or not, but he knew what was in his head. He would play it on the piano and then do it. And it's the most trippy music ever because then all the crazy guys would stop and then it would be very sappy and beautiful. And then a different thing would, he'd have a guy up on the balcony with a trumpet playing some other crazy shit. And this was, and it was all for a specific effect. But a lot of his music and new music, of course, as we all know, it deals with dissonance. And I love that shit.
Yeah, I do too.
But there's some of it I don't like, there's some I do. It's just because of what we said. But that's why I'm not an easy convert to the concept of bad vibrations. It seems like each person has their own bad vibrations.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I agree with that. I was just bringing that up because I've heard that said before.
It's like just that the Illuminati thing, dude, I'm telling you, just sort of, it kind of is a sled that you could have fun riding down the snowy fear mountain.
But
you know
get
I mean?
Off and the ride's over and then you're there.
Yeah, and so
it's just an interesting mythology that you could.
It's super interesting.
I mean, that's the thing though, is you could apply any of this to anything that you want. So
right.
So don't go down the negative path because you can apply everything to the negative path.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything. Not to wrap this up, but maybe I should wrap this up. I think what we've learned is like if you're talking about perceptions. The best way to live your life is be positive. Not to be cheesy or anything.
Or to recognize every single person has a different whole
trip. Right, exactly.
Trip.
Like, there's going to be differences. And
there's no absolute taste of good or bad. That's one of the things.
Yeah. Chocolate cake t- tastes like hate to me, yeah, and I love it. Never, and it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to taste like that.
My whole high school
to you.
Career was arguing taste with my friends that thought that they were right, yeah. And I'm like, hey, we're both right.
Those are high school arguments. It's about absolutes, and naturally, right. You're passionate about the absolutes you feel because you haven't had experiences to see that every other person is different and they're equally as valid.
And that's what sucks. It's like by the time you get old enough to like. Realize all of this shit and like
you're dead
and yeah then you're dead
well that's what's hard about dating a younger person
just so don't like, do that just
if
never
they haven't
that.
Learned certain things that like really matter to you then it's like well I'm not gonna teach you this
well
I
but
can't
unless
I can't
unless,
teach you this by
yeah,
telling you this
unless you just think like oh they have a different perspective than I do and I have to wait for them to like kind of
unless
figure
it's
it
hurtful
out,
or... unless they do things that are hurtful yeah. That fuck up your friendships so or just, whatever
unless you're forgiving it's okay
just so you can,
it would be good to be forgiving it's just that it would be good if the person recognizes what they're doing and yeah. Then says hey by the way you know I realize I blah blah blah.
Fuck all of our exes. Yeah. I think is what we're saying.
I realize that. I think that's I think that there's some such thing as a fridge rage. You know, this doesn't go here. Why
we're,
would you?
We're any people we hate get... who have disagreements. We're just as fucked up as they are. That's the bottom line about it. But in terms of perceptions, is there some way to wrap this up before you? Explore?
Yeah. Well,
we don't really do a wrap up. I mean, like, you know,
normally
thank you for
specific,
being here.
Yeah.
I think it's. No, I think you've really enlightened both of us in a new way of thinking. I'm not bullshitting you. Like, normally we have some fucking guy here who just like wants to argue facts or whatever, and it's great that you came. And I think this is a good conversation.
Yeah,
it was fun.
The
yeah.
whole point of this show to me is to just explore all of this stuff. Like, it's weird when I get a message from someone like, oh, you're wrong about this. I'm like. I'm not trying to be right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I just want to explore all
it's
this
so hard.
With other people.
It's so hard not to want to be right, though. It's so that's the hardest thing for me, not caring if you're right. That's so
yeah.
fucking hard.
Oh, it's the worst.
But that's the most satisfying thing for me if I say, I don't care. I can be wrong. I can say the wrong thing.
It's the most freeing thing in the world to recognize that you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And that you'll never really be right about anything.
yep. I always
and when
say
you
that
give it up, it's so fucking great.
No matter how old you are, you're a kid. The same issues you had when you're a kid, you still have. So just play.
And you know what? In terms of comedy writing, the more that thought resonates in your fucking brain, the broader your spectrum of appreciation for different types of paradox and reversals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like then, oh, there's a whole shitload of reversals and paradoxical things. Like yeah. surrealism itself could be funny. Like when Monty Python and Meaning of Life suddenly just did those little bits in between. You know
yeah.
what I mean? There was no joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Andy Kaufman stuff. There's zero jokes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Goddamn.
Well, anyways, good meeting both
of
you guys.
Hang on. We need to do a little bit of things. How do we do the Amazon portal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you if you go to our page, there's an Amazon portal there.
If you go to our page on Feral Audio.
On feralaudio.com. If you're going to buy something through Amazon anyways, you might as well give us a little bit of – we get a little kickback from that if you do it
great.
Through our page.
Tremendous.
And so what we're
Martin,
telling you now
yeah.
is you should buy these books and you should do
Martin's
it through
written a couple
our
books.
Amazon portal.
He wrote the Adventure Time Encyclopedia, which is an amazing book.
It's based on the series Adventure Time that Penn Ward created.
And then he also wrote the Encyclopedia of Hell, which is – I just got this a few days ago, and it's – I mean, like, it's blowing my mind. It's really great.
Oh, thanks. So it's a satire of, you know – human civilization written by the devil.
Yeah.
It's like a Mark Twain-y thing. And that's Feral House. Adam Parfrey published it.
But they're great books. If you do you have anything you want to plug?
This will
probably come out in a few weeks.
No.
Maybe over a month.
Oh, we have a new book coming out.
Oh, yeah?
It's another Adventure Time book. It's called The Enchiridion. And I wrote half of it. My daughter wrote the other half.
Oh, great.
And it's really great.
I didn't realize that until recently that your daughter was Marceline.
Yeah, she's
in Adventure Time, which is amazing.
Yeah, and that was a weird whole story we'll talk about afterwards.
All right.
If you want, you know.
Yeah, so buy that shit. Go to our page. Click on the Amazon link, and you can buy his books. Or you can buy whatever the fuck you want, but buy his books.
Yeah.
hey, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, it was
Wade,
really
pleasure
great.
Meeting you.
Nice to meet
really
you.
I love... I'd love to say that we're all intelligent and we're all more intelligent from talking to each other. I hope you had a great time listening.
That was fun.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Feral Audio.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior. Happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my gosh.
He spots his dear friend, who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.